We're Masechet Erchin Daf Kaf Bet, and we actually for a change starting on the Amud Tanu Rabbanan. So we're going to break now. We've been discussing up until now, what we spoke about yesterday in the Mishnah, was that if you need to, for whatever reason, sell assets of Yatomim of orphans. So we saw there that there's a process where you advertise for 30 days in the evening and the night, and if it's Hegdesh, for 60 days in the evening and the night. And then we had a question, it was very important, this is the basis for our Gemara. We said there, I had a question, the second last line of the Mishnah, Lamedi lemeimar amenat liten isha ketuva lebalchov. So we said, what's the reason that we do this? B'shal ha'otzalabah, omer sadeh planim b'sivaneh, yafefe, korah tzedikach b'gach. Why? The very first wide line on Amud Bet yesterday, amenat liten leisha b'ktuvata ulebalchov b'chovo. Because you're selling the orphan's assets to pay out the almana, the widow, or the isha, says b'ktuvah, the woman for her ktubah, and a creditor if he's owned money. So why do we proclaim it twice a day for 30 or 60 days? Basically try and push the price up, try and get the most amount of money if we can. We do a bit of an auction so that the Yatomim will get the best deal possible. Now the Gemara starts as follows. So we see already that the Gemara there limits the reasons why we sell Yatomim's assets. And that's very important, right? As a rule, we don't want to sell Yatomim's assets. Just wait till they grow older and let them sell them themselves. Why must we be involved in such a story? Going to the Yatomim, deal with the assets, sell them out, etc. So the Gemara is quite specific on when you can and when you can't do it. Okay, Gemara starts with a bright turbanan. Shuma Yatomim Shloshim Yom. Rabbi Meir is exactly like our Mishnah. 30 days you spend advertising for the Yatomim and 60 days for Hekdesh. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, Shuma Yatomim, 60 yom. Shuma Hekdesh, 90 yom. Rabbi says, no, 60 days for Yatomim and 90 days for Hekdesh. The Chachamim Omrim, Echadze Vechadze, 60 yom. Chachamim says, makes no difference. It's 60 days for both. Okay, so we've got Rabbi Yehuda on the one extreme, Rabbi Meir on the other extreme, and Chachamim in the middle. Rav Chizda says, Halacha Shum Hayatomim Shishim Yom. And Rav Chizda seems to pass an halacha different to our Mishnah, where he says the halacha is, Ravimi told him, that it's 60 days for Yatomim. So now Yativ Rav Chia Bar Avin, the shit that takes out Rebbe Chia, says Rav Chia. Yativ Rav Chia Bar Avin Ukamel HaShmaita. So Rav Chia went one day and he's told over the sugya. Rashi says of Rav Chizda. This Rav Chizda says of Ravimi that it's 60 days, which is different to our Mishnah. So Amar Rav Nachman, Yitzchak, Rav Chia Bar Avin, Shishim Kamarta or Shloshim Kamarta? Do you say 60 or 30? I'm not sure I heard you right. Because he knows the Mishnah, right? Amar Le Shishim. He says, no, 60. You heard me correctly. He says, tell me, are you speaking about the Yatomim or Hegdesh? Because again, if you say Yatomim, it's different to our Mishnah. Hegdesh is like our Mishnah. Amar Le Yatomim, like Yatomim. Different to our Mishnah. He said, I don't understand. Krabi Meir or Krabi Yehuda? Who are you passing like? Krabi Meir or Krabi Yehuda? Somebody like Krabi Meir. It's Krabi Meir, but it makes sense. He says, Krabi Meir, Shloshim Kamar. Krabi Meir says 30. How can you say 60? He says, like this, Amalei. So he says to him, Rav Chia, Hachi Amar Rav Chizda. Remember, Rav Chizda, we said Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Ravimi. Rav Chizda said, Amar Ravimi. So here, Rav Chia Bar Avin says that Rav Chizda said, let me avimi kufei tavei bale ala the hashmaita. Right, look at Rashi. What does it mean kufei bale ala? Look at the very first line of Rashi. Kufei tavi hakaot gedolot. I got plenty claps. Right? Al hadashmaita shaya melamdeini. While he was teaching me the sugya, he gave me a good few beatings. Shuma yatoi Rabbi Meir shishim yom. And he said, no, Rabbi Meir says 60 days. Vayiti makshelon. I would argue and say, how can you say that? Ha'am Rabbi Meir shloshim. We've got a brightness. Rabbi Meir says shloshim. Rabbi Mishnah Rabbi Meir says shloshim. V'amar li, and he said to me, no. Ba'al ha'chriz retzufin shloshim yom. Bein yotomim, bein hegdesh. He says, Rabbi Meir says, no. You're misunderstanding that brighter Rabbi Meir. When Rabbi Meir said 30 days, that's only if you are every single day making that declaration. About Balachriz, so it says, yeah, the Gemara carries on. Balachriz Ratzufim Shloshim. Besheini Bechamishi Shishim. But if you only do it on Mondays and Thursdays, look at Rashi, it says, in Balachriz Sheini Chamishi, the last wide lines at the top of Rashi, Shehemi Yemei Adin, Those are court days. We know them as from Masechet Megillah. We know them as the market days, right? Well, the Mishnah says they Yemei Shuk, no?
Yeah.
What's the word it says there? Shani v'chamishi, Shem Yemei Shuk. Okay. He says Shem Yemei Hadin. I think it was the same idea there, though, in Megillah, right? Because the court sat on the Monday, Thursday, so the markets or other whatever reason it was, they were linked. Because it was the market day, the markets open, so the courts also sat.
Yeah.
But he seems to be saying the Rashi here because it's a court day. But anyhow.
No, it's first because the court days, the markets were open.
My question is, are the markets open because it's a court day, or are the courts in effect because it's a market day?
No, the first one.
First one? Okay. Yemei Achraza, 18 yom. And here's there, only actually 18 days he works it out. It's Tzav Chashov. If you count the Sundays, if you take over a period of 6 weeks, and you count the Sundays, the Mondays and the Thursdays, so you've got actually 12, plus that you have to do the Achraza, and then you go to, I don't know how he gets to 18. But anyway.
It's 9 weeks.
9 weeks?
2 months.
60
days.
60 days, sorry, 60 days. 60 days is 2 months, so it's 8 weeks. So 9 weeks?
Well, okay. 9 weeks is 18. Twice a week.
Okay, but I think Rashi seems to include over here the day of the Achraza, the first day as well. Hey, look here, you want to see the Rashi? Tzav v'chashov mishnei shabbatot shmona shavuot. You got 8 weeks. Arelecha nun vav yamin, 56 days. Because he's talking about not a 30 day, he's talking about a 30 day and 29 day, right? So you got 56 days. V'yibahem shesh 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 shani v'chamishi. So you got 8 weeks of two, you got 16 days. Hosif od arba'a yamim shayni v'shlishi v'revi v'chamishi b'shabbos, because it's not exactly 8 full weeks, it's 8 and a bit of weeks. So you've got over there 60 days. Mishetchil achraza v'yesh b'm 18 yamei achraza. Okay, so he comes to 18 days. So that's what he says there. That's how Rav Chiya bar Avin explains what Avimi says to Rav Chisda, that we, it depends. If you do 30 days every single day, you're right. If you don't do every day, you only do the 2 days a week, plus those extra few days, you come to 60 days. And even though he says, if you add all those days together, of the days of market, of the Ashuk, the judging, whatever, you got only 17 days, came in the Mashcha Milta, Shame Inshay. 18 days, sorry. But nonetheless, since it's being schlepped along for over a period of 60 days, people get to hear about it. So either you every single day for 30 days, or Sunday, Mondays and Thursdays for 60 days. And basically, it's the same idea. That is, you get the people. So that is how we understand now the new way of understanding Rav Meir in light of Avimi of Rav Chisda. Now, Gemara Stakas. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm a Rav Asi. Ain niskakin the nichsei yatomim. As a rule, we've got to remember that. Eh? That's the rule. The rule is ain niskakin the nichsei yatomim. You don't delve into their assets. You don't sell them. You don't do anything. Rashi says lemochran to sell them. Ela imkain aita ribit ochedet bahin. Only exception to that rule is if they've got a loan to somebody. Rashi says shemu chuvin leoved kochavim maot per ribit. Because they have a goy, they can't pay a Jew ribit, right? If they owe a goy money. And the clock's ticking. And every day there's interest accruing. So you want to get them rid of the interest as quickly as possible. So you sell some of the assets, pay off the debt, and you move on. According to us, that's the only time you can sell a Tomim's assets. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Yochanan says, all a shtar sheyesh bo ribit, it would depend. Either a shtar sheyesh, like this example we spoke about Rabbi Asi, or liktuvat isha mishum mezone. Or if there's a ketubah hanging over the orphans, right? Look at Rashi Mishum Mizone. The chos man she'ena gove ketubata nizonit mishelahem. V'have pesedet didu. Their father's wife, right? We're assuming now that maybe it's their mother. It might be their mother. But maybe not, right? At the moment, their father was married, and now he dies, and they leave the children here with his widow, and they've got to feed her. And until they pay her out of ketubah, she's their responsibility. They say, you know what? This woman's costing us a lot of money here. Let's just pay out the ketubah and be done with her. Right? That's the story. Because basically, as long as they haven't paid out the ketubah, she's claiming money from the estate. So Rav Asi says only a debt, and Rabbi Yochanan says either a debt to a third party or a ketubah. Rav Asi might tell Amrak ketubah isha. So why did Rav Asi say like Rabbi Yochanan? Why does he ignore the ketubah isha? He says no. The hata kinelei Rabbanan maase yadei. Right, because this is a takana over here. Maase yadei normally means is it yadia? Punctuate it for me. Maase yadeya. Is that what it says? Not yadei, yadeya. Yadea, yadea, right, makes more sense, right? Because yadea is her money. It says, no, they don't mind the orphans. Because in the meantime, she's busy working. And the deal is, the takalcham is, that while she works, she pulls the money. So yeah, they're getting the money, so what do they care? They're paying her fee, they're paying to feed her, but anyhow, she's earning her keep. So they don't mind, they aren't in a rush. So when we idach, so Yochanan, Hakar Yochanan says that they do pay her a ketubah. He says, zim de lo sapka. Sometimes she can't earn enough. Either she's a lazy woman, or a capable woman, or whatever the case is, or she's a very expensive woman to keep, and she can't pay her wage. Therefore, they want to pay her out. The other Gemara is like a tnan. We've got a Mishnah. Now, this tnan is like normally we'd see Meitive, right? We bring a brighter to ask a kasha, we bring a Mishnah to ask a kasha. And the Mishnah is our Mishnah, I think, right? Shuma, he told him, Shloshim Yom, Shuma Hekta, Shishim Yom. Umachrizim Abokr Vaerev. Yeah, exactly our Mishnah. That's the direct line from Mishnah. The Mishnah says there, Shum, I told him 30 yom, and hekdesh 60 yom, u'machiz u'kemerev. But my skin, what are we talking about in this Mishnah? We have to try to understand Rabbi Yochanan here and Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi says only a shtarchov, Rabbi Yochanan says either the shtarchov or a ketubah. So the Gemara says, in a balchov over kochavim, could we be speaking about a goy over here? Like Rashi understood at the beginning, right? That we speak about a goy who we've got a third party debt to the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, what? Mitzayit? Why would he listen to you? Look at Rashi there. You know about Kovet Kavim the Shakir Ribit Volachinski. That's why you got to sell quickly. Mitzayit Lahamtin Yemei Hachrazatenu Ribit. Why would the goy agree to wait this 30 or 60 days and not get ribit in the meantime? Elapshitim about Chov Yisrael. So there must be speaking about Chov Yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay, if it's about Chov Yisrael, so what's the pressure? Idekaachir Ribit. Mishav. Even if he wants ribit, we're going to allow him the ribit. Is this the right thing? Yeah, we're not giving the ribit. So what's our pressure? So why do we want to sell the assets? If he isn't charging ribit, why do we say in the Mishnah, niskakin, we have to go in and sell? It seems to imply there's an urgency over here. So what's the Mishnah talking about? Now we're going to use this Mishnah and understand what we just said. It's not a goy, it's a Jew, and there's no ribit. Why are we in a rush to sell the assets of the Yatomim when we know we shouldn't? And we've got Rabbi Asi who says you sell them only for a debt, and Rabbi Yochanan says also for a ketubah. So God says, Bishlo Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan all works out beautifully. Mokla b'ketubah isha, we're discussing a ketubah isha. That's what we're going to sell. And Rabbi Asi kashya, Rabbi Asi the kashya, Rabbi Asi said for a debt, now that we understand the pressure, there's no ribit here. So Malach Rabbi Asi, it's interesting here, Rabbi Asi doesn't defend himself. Rabbi Asi says, you think it's a simple Rabbi Yochanan? Or Rabbi Yochanan, me nicha, and you really think it's simple, Rabbi Yochanan? You think you're not kashi, only a kashi about me? What about you got a kashi him as well? Me shafkinan mezone devada kemifsada. He says, what you're gonna me shafkinan mezone, right? What you doing over here? What are your options? As far as Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan says, we've got a woman now who we're busy supporting. Let's sell the assets of the Yatomim and pay her out and be got done with her. So what is it? What's happening over here? To get rid of her, we know what her cost is. V'nektinan hachraza, and now you're going to choose the channel of going and auctioning off these Yatomim's assets. D'lo yadinan, imar v'chinan, ilomar v'chinan. You're not sure you're going to get good money for them. You want to be selling their assets at a loss. Might be cheaper for them just to stick around and pay her out instead of going and selling the assets and being done with it. So Rabbi Yochanan is a kashya if you said for a ketubah purpose. So he says, no, ha lo kashya. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan is not a kashya. Now, I could be a bit cynical, you know me, I always think the Gemara is going to favorite spin Rabbi Yochanan. It seems like from the outset, Rabbi Yochanan is the favorite of here, and we're just hammering Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to defend at all costs. Exactly what's happening here in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says, ha lo kashya. Betova'at ketubata bebeitin. What's happening over here? This woman has already gone to Beit Din and submitted her claim on her ketubah. She's like, I want my ketubah. Ukedrav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And now we fall into the category of the halacha of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. What did he say? Amar Shmuel, ha-tova'at ketubata be-Beit Din, ein la-mezonot. The moment the woman goes, interesting halacha this, eh? And she, so, as long as everything's going well and she's in claiming a ketubah, the tumim have to pay her and she gets the money and she gets clothing and she gets accommodation and all fine. The moment she goes to Beit Din and submits a claim and says, I want my ketubah paid out, from that moment onward, she loses her mezonot. Amazing, eh? Because it makes, you got to think twice before you go and submit a claim. You've got to make sure that there's money to be readily available to pay and you've got a good case. Because in the meantime, the moment you submit that claim, you've lost the money. Right? I suppose it makes sense. You can't have a woman challenging the yotomim and they're busy paying her at the same time. It's like a crazy situation. You have it in law where people are busy suing somebody else and they're living off them while they're doing it.
It says, that once the widow indicates, by filing her claim for court, she's indicating she's ready to seek another husband. Since her widowhood no longer honors her late husband's memory, she must forfeit the support of his estate.
Okay, well, that's a nice explanation. That's a very nice explanation. Makes sense. That was the orphan say, look, we now know you no longer, you've lost our father's eye, or our father is not in your mind anymore, we don't want to support you. Okay, shkoch. Says over here, so the Gemara says, on the contrary, Iachi is the kukei lo mistaknene. So there, on the contrary, there's no longer need to sell the assets. Once she's submitted a claim, she's lost any claim to any daily food or whatever the case is. So what's our rush? Let's wait till the kids grow up and let them sell it. Right? The Gemara says, no, ela kevan de iska kinle mi kara mistaknene la besof sidna. You're right, that could be the case, but since from the outset we were happy to, we look at Shekavan Dizakina Mikara Bitchilat Viat Ketubata Lafsida Mezonotea, Bizakina Lebesof Ligvota Ketubata. So since at the outset we had this claim we were going to sell the assets to pay off her Ketubah, we pay off the Ketubah. But in theory we could hide behind this, right, and say, look, I'm sorry, lady, you know, you submitted a claim, these kids are now 3 and 4 years old, wait till they're 18, in the next 15 years, come back to us and we'll talk to you. It would seem to have been a very justified claim. But Chachamim said no. We were happy to pay, we know we're going to have to pay the ketubah. So even though before she submitted a claim, even though now she submits a claim, we'll sell the goods, the assets to the Gemara. The bottom line is, Mikol Makom Rashi Kashya. So Rav Asi tried to throw a sort of a curveball here and said it's Kashya to Rabbi Yochanan as well. We've sorted out Rabbi Yochanan. There's no problem with the ketubah, it was all fine. Our big kasha here is Rav Asi. Rav Asi says only because of a debt, and we don't understand what the reason is. He had to sell in a hurry, there's no ribbit, there's no pressure, what's going on? Rav Asi kasha, Gemara says, no, lo'olam bebalch. So really, we've got to now change our thinking a bit, and it seems like it can't be so pashut that it's a bal chov Jew who's not charging interest. So he says, you know what, you're right. Le'olam bebalchov oved kochavim shekibel lav ladum b'dinei Yisrael. Really, it's a balchov, goy, and he's charging interest, but he's agreed nonetheless to be judged in a court, in Israeli court, and he understands the procedure. He's got to wait 30 or 60 days. And that he's prepared to do. Verse says, if he's prepared to come and judge according to the law of Jews, so he shouldn't take interest either. God says, no. Shekibel lav lezo. He's not, let's not go too far. He's happy to come and be judged in your court, but interest he wants. Alright? So that's the end of that challenge over there. So we see Sarav Asi seems to have survived that one over there. We're talking about a goy. New Gomorrah starts another challenge. Toshma, another brighter. Ein Nifrin. That's a Gomorrah in Gittin. Ein Nifrin Minichse Yatomim Ela Mina Ziborit. So when it comes to paying out debts that the Yatomim owe, you only take, remember we had Idit, Bainit, and Zibrit. Remember the three different types of lands, right? The Zibrit is the worst kind of the lot. So if you're going to have to realize assets of the Yatomim, you only sell the cheap stuff. Which means, if you remember, we learned this in Gittin as well there, that you'd have to end up selling more. Remember that? Because it's a lower value, you're selling more. But we'd rather get rid of the bad stuff, even though it got more, and keep them with the lesser good stuff. It was about my asking, what are we discussing over there in that brighter of Ein Nifrim Nesichayim Erim Mezibut? Ilam Bebal Chov Oved Kochavim. We got through the same process again. If it's a Baal Chov Oved Kochavim, so Mitzah is going to agree to only get from the Ziburit. El Pshita Bebal Chov Yisrael. Must be a Jewish Baal Chov. So we said, well, I don't understand then. I Achir Ribita Mishav. If he's a Jew, and he wants a Jew, we're going to agree. No. El Delo Achir Ribita. So obviously, a guy who's not charging Ribit. But nonetheless, Ukatani Niskakin, we're going to sell. Why? So the Gemara now takes up Asher Rabbi Yochanan again and puts them one against the other. Ish Bishlo Rabbi Yochanan, we understand Rabbi Yochanan would say you're going to sell even though it's a Jew and there's no ribbit, Mokila, Ketubat Isha, because this is it. Ketubat Isha is also a possibility. The woman's going to Ketubah. And Rav Asi Kashia, Rav Asi Kashia, remember Asi was the one who said, Im Niskakin Niskatomim, Ele A Niskin, Ele Im Kain, Haita Ribbit, Ocheret Bahen. That was Rav Asi. Yeah, there's no ribbit, it's a Jew.
So why is it a problem? I don't understand the problem.
Why do we have to sell? What's our rush to sell these Yatomim's assets? Wait till they grow up.
No, but I understand. But then, what's the problem saying if it's evil ribbit? Why is he objecting?
No, that was the way we passed that. We said, if it's, why would a goy agree to Ziburit? A goy wants his money from Ziburit. Exactly. From
what do you care? They sell off the Ziburit.
So that's why it can't be. Nah, but it's harder to sell Ziburit. It takes longer to sell Ziburit. You've got to find more buyers. You've got bigger amounts. Idit's the easiest to sell. Let's be honest, if you've got a good piece of property to sell, which is the easier one to sell? Provided the price is right. The better one.
Okay.
So that's why. Why are he going to wait here now? You had the guy, don't worry, Mr. Goy. We'll sell this land eventually. We'll find the buyer. Just let us find the right buyers, the right price. The guy's going to come. But we're only selling the worst land possible. What do you know about? I've got a mortgage on the property. The guy's in money. I want to sell that land over there.
So they're giving him the land in payment or they're selling the land?
That's a good point. I thought about that as a possibility as well, but I don't know. Does it say anything there in your Gemara? I don't know. I thought about that, but I don't know.
He pays the debt with land rather than with money.
Okay. I went through my mind, but I didn't think it was feasible. Okay, but it's a good, even better example. He's offering to pay the land with Ziburi. The guy said, I want Ziburi. I want it. Even better. Okay? So here, as the Gemara says, El Rabbi Yossi Kashia. So Malach Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says the same thing. Instead of defending, Ul Rabbi Yochanan Minicha. Or you think Rabbi Yochanan so pashut? Who does he quote there, Michael, in that there? Just out of injustice. Doesn't say where it comes from.
A one who comes to collect payment from orphans may only collect from Ziburit, where the orphans are minors. From Rambam, Sefer Mishpatim. Yeah.
Have we got a note in this Gemara about that? That it's actually the land itself that we're giving, and not.
אדם שיש לו כמה קדוש אומרים, אנו מחלקים אותם, אני אומר, 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 אני
אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, אני אומר, okay, Schkoch. So that makes it even easier then to understand. All right. So here we actually give the land, Steve. Okay. So now Afilu Min Sadah says to Rav Asi. Rav Asi says what? And Rav, you think Rav Yochanan's Rav Yochanan Minicha? I ketubah. He says I don't understand. If Rav Yochanan talking about a ketubah. So my area miyatme, why dafka make the story of the ketubah from the orphans? Afilu minei tidei nami b'ziburit. Even if she's coming to claim from the man himself, it's are you only pay out a ketubah from ziburit. So why do we have to dafka say yatomim? He seems to say that even Rabbi Yochanan's whole case is difficult. Because when you say any film, when you say you're talking about ziburit, even a ketubah as a rule, you only pay out of ziburit, right? So why would we dafka be speaking about a ketubah over here of all things? Right? So we say the halo kashya. Rabbi Yochanan is not a kashya either. Halo kashya. Why? Because Rabbi Meir he the amar ketubat isha bebeinonit. He says, no, because Rabbi Yochanan says, why do we know he's speaking about a ketubah dafka from Yatomim? Because Rabbi Meir says that a ketubah, if a woman's being paid a ketubah from her ex-husband, right, then it's bebeinonit, not ziburit. Umiyat mei beziburit. But from Yatomim, ziburit. So it's unique to Yatomim. That's why we know we're talking about Yatomim. Okay? Otherwise, it would be from beinonit. So Gemara ends up, mikol makol rashi kashya. And nonetheless, we still left with the kasha of Asi, because of Asi says only a Baal Chov, and a Baal Chov who's earning ribbit. And we're speaking here, clearly we're speaking about a Jew who's not charging ribbit. Gemara says, no, actually it's not the case. Olam Baal Chov of Bet Kochavim, Shekibel Lav Ladum Medina Yisrael. It's actually a Baal Chov of a Goy, like we saw. Iachirit Namilot Nishko, why is he taking ribbit? So it's the same answer, Shekibel Lezor Velo Kibel Lav Lezor. He agreed to what's that? Oh, I don't know. Right? So Shekibel Lav Lezor Velo Kibel Lav Lezor. Same idea. Okay, Gemara is in a third attempt now. Tashma. Almanat litain leisha ketubata ulebal chov chovo. Remember, we saw at the beginning, yesterday, we said, why do we do this proclamation every day in the morning and the evening? And the reason was, we said, Almanat, the very last wide lines of Amud Bet yesterday, Kaf Aleph, Almanat litain leisha biktubata ulebal chov bechovo. The Gemara quotes it over there and says, so now what are we speaking about? Bishlam Baal Chov Bein Mar Ubein Mar Krishnan. So with Baal Chov we can live with. Because both Rabbi, when we saw over here today, if you look very quickly, go up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines up before the lines got wide in the Gemara. We had Amar Rav Asi, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Olishtar. All the ketubah. So as far as shtar is concerned, Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan agree. So if it's l'shtar baal chov, bishlam baal chov, b'emar b'krashinan, like we learned. Right? And Rashi says there, b'baal chov oved kochavim. Rashi, on this Gemara here, says specifically, a goy. Right? Ele ketubah ta. But there we saw yesterday, that we said, l'ten le'isha ketubah ule baal chov chovo. So baal chov, Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan are together. Ele ketubata only works out Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara says, "Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan nicha." Rabbi Asi kashia. So now Rabbi Asi doesn't say, "Why do you think it's nicha to Rabbi Yochanan?" Yeah, he doesn't say that. Gemara says, "No, it's not so straightforward. Why? Hacha b'mayaskinan keshechayav mode." The case over here is when the case of a chayav is mode. Look at Rabbeinu Gershon. Look at Rabbeinu Gershon. If you look at Rabbeinu Gershon, it's almost in line with the Gemara in the inside. I go a few lines up, the bottom of the Rashi there. Keshechayav mode, says, kore mitato, before the guy dies, shadayin yesh alav ketubat isha zo, o chov ze, v'tziva latet. Either a case of a ketubah or a chov, he's lying there on his deathbed, he says to his children, I owe that woman, I haven't paid her out a ketubah yet, or I owe him a debt. In a case like this, even Rav Asi would agree that you pay out a ketubah. So Rav Asi said only a baal chov, but he would agree with Rabbi Yochanan in the case of where the father had agreed that he hasn't paid out the ketubah yet. That he would, it would be the same case. So therefore, it would work out fine as well. So Gemara says, wait a second. If that's the case, we're talking about a case of chayav mode, and Rabbi Asi agrees on the ketubah story. Hashta da'atit lahachi. We've got to this stage. Kulu nami keshechayav mode. Why don't we say these three cases we had up until these two cases up until now? We go to all great pains, but we're speaking about it. So it's quite simple. There's no kasher of Asi, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rashi have the same case. And what's the case? Keshechayav mode. And then it's a ketubah or it's a debt makes the difference. It's all very nice. Okay, so that basically seems to be kulu nami says Rashi keshechayav mode. Look at Rashi there. Kulu nami keshechayav mode ubal chov Yisrael. We don't have to speak about a goy anymore. It's a Baal Chov Yisrael. There's no problem of ribbit over here. Everybody agrees that we owe the money. And the father said, sell. That's why the Yotomim sell. But if the father didn't say, Chayav Mode, he never admitted to it, and the person is challenging the Yotomim and their estate, then we would not necessarily have to run and sell. We could wait until they got older. Now the Gemara is like, Mareimar, my Savior. Mareimar, Igve Ketubata, Legrusha, Menich Sediatme. Up until now, we've been speaking about an almana, right? A woman who died, if her husband died and left the woman. Here, suddenly, Mareimar, he took money from Yotomim to pay out a ketubah to a grusha. So, Amar Rav Inu Rav Meimar, Amar Rav Yura, Amar Rav Asi, Ein Nizkin, Elixir Yotomim, Ela Imken Haetar, Ribit Ocheret Bahin. I don't understand. A grusha, when it was a almana, so the children are busy paying her out until she submits a claim to go and marry somebody else, like we saw there, right? Here, she's a grusha. They don't have to pay her out. So there's no ribbit, so to speak. There's no belay. How do you say? There's no like a depreciation of the children's estate. So what's the rush to go and sell the yatomim's assets? Wait till they get older. Right, even Rabbi Yochanan said, or maybe for a star, but those are the only two exceptions. Sheyesh bo ribit, or look to isha mishum mezone, or because of the ketubah, because of the food. And Rabbi Yochanan, and he says again to Maremas, even Rabbi Yochanan, when he said, right, with regards to ketubah, lo ka'amar ele ba'almana, the kemifse de mezone, because they're busy depreciating, depleting their value here because they're paying it out. Aval grusha law, where's the grusha come from? It's amazing halachas. Look at this halacha over here. Rashi says over here, aval grusha, because look at Rashi says here, ain la mezona, it's not mezona. So where do you come from paying out, setting out the orphans' assets for them? So Amar lei, so he says like this. So Ravina, Marema says to Ravina, right? Ha anan Rabbi Yochanan mishum china mat ninanda. There's an exception of here. Even though Rabbi Yochanan speaks about a ketubah, and you understand the ketubah is speaking about a woman who's an almana, not a grusha, there's a case of china. Look at china. China is chen, right? Look at Rashi over here. Hahid Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Ketuba Isha Magvina Miyatmei Mishum China Matninala. What's China? Kedei Shiyim Tzu Ha'anashim Chain Be'enei Hanashim. Men will find favor in the eyes of women. Ve'yinasul, and they'll marry them. Ve'hilchach Afila Grusha Nami. Really, what's the idea of a Ketuba? We want women to have comfort. When a woman gets married to somebody, even though we remember we said in Kiddushin, Tav Landu Milametav Armelu. Remember that? We said women always want to get married, they don't want to sit on their own. Even spite of that, a woman wants to get married, but she still wants to have a certain level of comfort. And therefore she wants to know that if she dies, if he dies, the children will look after her. If she gets divorced and then he dies and he hasn't got a ketubah yet, the children will look after her. So there's an implicit contract between a man and a woman. That if there's a ketubah here to be paid, she knows that the chachamim will make sure that the yatomim are there to pay out a ketubah if the husband dies. Whether she's a divorcee or a widow, makes no difference. That's what he says here. So now we've seen over here, by the way, two opinions so far on when you would sell out a yatomim's assets. We had Rav Asi, who said, if there's a contract. And Rabbi Yochanan said either a loan or a ketubah. Rav Nachman, I think, seems to add in here like a third opinion. I know this is my own noting, counting. I'm not sure if it's actually 100% right. And I think we're going to see Rav Nachman is going to split up just now into, we have a bit of a discussion about this. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says as follows. Mereisha lo have mizdekikna lenichse yatamin. At the outset, initially, we never touched the Yatomim's assets. We left them alone until they grew up. Kevan de Shamel Laha Rav Huna Chavrin Mishmei de Rav. But once we heard what Rav Huna said, our friend Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, right, and we hear what he's going to say now, it's coming up now, right, that's what changed our minds. Because what did Rav Huna say in the name of Rav? Yatme Yatomim, right, and this is a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Yatme the achle the Lord did who orphans who are busy benefiting from assets which aren't theirs. What do you mean aren't theirs? Would they know, or they might not even know, but there's proof that their father owed this money to somebody else, and therefore that it's not theirs. Lizlu batar shivkayu. Look at that. Lizlu, they will go after the one who left it to them. In other words, look at Rashi, yeah? Lizlu batar shivkayu. Rashi says, yeah, yamutu ka'avihem. Because if they're getting hana'a from money which is not theirs, and the only reason they're getting hana'a because they're hiding behind this concept that they're orphans, and therefore they're not paying back this guy, they're going to die the same. They're going to follow their father. It's quite a statement, eh? So it says, Mikan ve'elach, from that moment onwards, when Rav Huna said the name of Rav, Mizdakikna. We started selling off orphan stuff to pay off their debts. It's safer for the orphans to sell their assets and pay off the debts than to benefit from money which is not theirs.
Can it be the
what?
Rather than the orphans. Because the orphans have got 2-3 year olds. What does he know?
got apotropos?
Exactly, so it's the apotropos who might have the
You mean the apotropos should die?
Yeah.
Because he's not getting benefit unless he's charging a fat management fee.
No, maybe. But still,
he
knows that he owes this money, and that
he. That's what Rabbi is saying. He's saying, listen, whoever's dealing with the children's assets, you don't want these children to get a hana'a from them which aren't theirs. So sell it. So then apotropos must do it. Right? So Gemara says, Nemikara, my time alone. Why didn't we initially, what was the idea behind not selling the asset? So Amara Papa, Priyat Balchov Mitzvah. He says, look at this. He says, paying back a debt is a mitzvah. V'yatme lo b'nei mi'abed mitzvah ninu, and they aren't chayvim mitzvahs. So I pay back. Right? The children, they're kids.
I was assuming they're
understood. Yeah, they're babies. Look at Rashi here. Right? Love b'nei mi'abed mitzvah ninu, diktani mein. And the Yabdin Achiyakdin let them wait till they get older and fulfill the mitzvah themselves. That's the one answer. Rav Hunabrei, Rav Yoshua says, no. What's the reason we didn't? Because Amar Tzarei Atfasei. Tzarei Atfasei, look at Rashi, what does Tzarei Atfasei mean? Avihem Natan Lebal Chovo Ma'ot O Kesev V'Zahav B'Mishkon B'Sha'at Mita V'Lo Hispik Litol Et Ashtar Miyado. He says, well, why did they pay? Because they're assuming there's an assumption here that the father repaid it before he died. Just he never got back the shtar chov. So this guy's actually a liar. He's been paid back his money and he's coming to claim from them again. The assumption is the father paid, didn't die with debts. So the Gemara says, my benai, what's the nafkamina between Rav Papa and Rav Yoshua? Rav Hunabrei, Rav Yoshua. Ikebenayu v'shechayev mode. Same as we went early on. The nafkamina would be if the chayev is mode. Right, if the father before he died he admitted to owing the money, so there, according to Rav Papa, even if he admits to owing the money, wait till they get older and they'll sell the money, they'll sell the assets. Or according to Rav Yehuda Brad, Rav Yoshua, in a case like that, he would say that you should sell and you shouldn't hold on. That's the one possibility. Inami, another nafkamina between the two of them could be Shamtua Umait Beshamte. What's Shamtua Beshamte? Look at Rashi. Shamte Beitin Lavihen Al She'eno Porel Zechovo. Before the guy died, he was refusing to pay the debt. Beitin put him in Chayrim. And he died, Umait Beshamte, while he was still in this Chayrim. The Hashta Lekin Amichash Litshari. Now we got no longer any suffix that he might have paid them back, because why has he still got a Chayrim on him? So he obviously hasn't paid them back, so we can't be Choshech Rapapa there, but to Rav Yeshua Bered Ravuna, that he's paid him back. The Raya Poro Ereba Beitin, because he would have kept to Beitin, that she had two Niduyav. He wouldn't have paid him on the side, because he needs Beitin to release the Chayrim. So he would have had to come to Beitin to pay back, everyone would have known. So in two cases like that, right, those are the two nafkaminas between Rapapa, who says it's a mitzvah, and Rav Yeshua Bered Rav Yeshua, who says that there's a Chashash that the money's being paid back. Now the Gemara gives the halacha here. Shalchu mitam from Eretz Yisrael, they sent a halacha from Eretz Yisrael, right? The shamtua umit b'shamte. That's really the case, right? Look at Rashi there. The shalchu mitam b'shamte mitukme kol henech matnaita de la'el to amru niskekin. All these cases over here where we said, why do we sell Yitzchom with assets? Bottom line, what's the ground? Why do we sell? Because there's a case over here of Shamte. We know for a fact that the father hasn't yet paid back the assets. V'hilchete k'rav hunne b'reid Rav Yoshua. And the locha says, Rashi here, d'heiche de lo shamtua, chayish l'tshua. And if there isn't a Shamte, if there wasn't a case of putting in chayrim, right, then the children don't pay back. Why not? Because we assume that the father paid back the assets before he died. So there's two sides of the coin here. Either we know he hasn't paid back because Beit Din got proof he hasn't paid them back because Beit Din was busy through it with court proceedings to get the money out of him, or we assume that the father paid back and if we don't sell the children's assets. So those would be the two extremes. That's either we sell because of Beit Din knows for a fact he hasn't paid back, or we don't sell because we think that that maybe he has paid back the money. Okay, so now the Gemara of Akiah, now we're stuck in this sort of like mindset over here between Rav Papa on the one hand, says not a mitzvah. Right, and Rav Yoshua, who says that we choshesh letzara that he has actually paid back. So the Gemara brings a couple of brachot to try and again play one of those off against the other. Snan, we quote our Mishnah, right, which we quoted before. Shuma Yatomim 30 Yom, Veshuma Hegdash 60 Yom, Umachzim HaBokr VaErev. We have this 30 days for Yatomim and 60 days for Hegdash, and every day, morning and evening, we make a declaration, try and get the money as high as possible. So what's the mask? What are we talking about? So we know this already. If it's a Baal Ovet Kochavim, why would he wait the 30 days, 60 days? Okay, well, 30 days, it's that, because obviously Hegdash is not a, could be a Goy, maybe Hegdash as well, I don't know. Mitzayt, right? Look at Rashi there. Ilam v'baal chov v'vet kachavim. The law by lemintar ad de gadle. He doesn't have to wait until they get older. Mitzayit lahamtin yamei hachraza. So why would he even wait for the 30 or 60 day period? He wants his money now. Right? Ilam pshita v'baal chov Yisrael. So we're obviously speaking about baal chov Yisrael. If it's a baal chov Yisrael, so now we've got Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, and we've got Rav Papa. Rav Huna Rav Yeshua says it's because of Choshesh, the child has been repaid, and Rav Papa says it's not a mitzvah yet. There's a bishul Rav Huna Rav Yeshua who says that we Choshesh repaid. Mokila b'shechayv modi. What's our mish talking about? Why do we go and sell the assets? Because we know that the guy, he's Moki, that he says he's chayev. And Rav Papa, kasher. Rav Papa's a kasher. Rav Papa says it's not a mitzvah to sell the assets. Got to wait till they grow up. So why do we sell? There's no mitzvah to sell. Amalek Rapapa, Rapapa says no. Why do we sell? Ebait Ema for two reasons. Ketuba Mishum Chinah. If we're discussing a ketuba, we can say, why do we have to sell? Because there's this case of Chinah, like we saw earlier, Rabbi Yochanan. That it's an implicit understanding. When the woman got married, and she's not going to have to wait till the children grow up. Right? Ebait Ema Balchov. You're thinking about Balchov. It's an Oved Kochavim he's speaking about. And that's why he's Shekibel Alav Ladun Bedin Israel. Right, and he agreed to be judged in the court of Israel. So he says, "Nu ikiba lav lintar lehu adegadle." If that's the case, then wait until he grows older. Right, lintar and adehu gadle until he grows older. There's a shita mekubetz which is worth looking at. Look at the shita mekubetz of the otbet. Right, shita mekubetz of the second one. It says lintar. Right, let him wait. Shomer. Right, lintar lintar to stay. Gilion hachamai b'milve dovet kochamim b'lo ribit. No matter a guy who's not taking ribit. V'kibel alav lahamtin yemei hachraza. Right? If you already waited to for the, that's the rosh. Right? If you're already waiting for the yemei hachraza, so you wait till they get older as well. So the Gemara says no. Shekibel alav lezov v'lo kibel lezov. He's happy to wait the 60 days or 30 days. You're not ready to wait till they get older. Okay. So we've seen there. We can sort out our Mishnah both in line of Rabbi Yeshua. Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, and as far as the Rabbi is concerned. The Gemara tries again. Toshma. Al-Minat, this is what we saw on Kaf Aleph Amud Bet at the very beginning. We started at the beginning of the year, we saw it yesterday. While the Gemara said the purpose why we do this declarations is to try and get the most amount of money, either for a woman, for a ketubah, or for a Baal Chov. So where it brings that brightness, like a Toshma. Al-Minat, we tell you, Yishak Ketubah Baal Chov. Again, I'm asking, what are we talking about? If it's a Baal Chov, a Goy, Mitzayit, why would you want to wait? Same idea. Same idea. He's talking about a case where the guy admits it. And Rav Papa, Bishlom, Ketubah, Mishum China. We understand if it's a Ketubah. El Baal Chov, Kashya, but Baal Chov is Kashya. Why would Rav Papa says there's no mitzvah for them to pay, remember? And nonetheless, the brightness that we do pay, she says, oh, why do we pay here? Because there's this implicit understanding with the woman of Chinah. But with the Baal Chov, since we said it's a Baal Chov Yisrael, what's the rush? Can you wait till they get old? There's no mitzvah now. She says, no, all of Baal Chov Oved Kochavim. And the same idea, Kon Shekibel Lav Dumen Yisrael, so almost the same story, Ikibel Lav Lintelu Adarade, why do you wait till they get older? Shekibel Lav Lezor, Velokibel Lav Lezor. Okay, so basically, we've taken in both those two brightness of ours, Mishnah and the brighter of Yeshua and Rav Papa, and we can live with both of them.
That's pretty strange. I mean, see, you've got a Baal Chov. He can't collect his money for 19 years. Seems a bit. He's got kids who are a couple of years old. He has to wait a minimum until they're bar mitzvah. So he has to wait 10, 12 years to get his money.
Okay. Well, you're right.
Can they put
the
kids' money in escrow?
Well, that's why Loch is not like that.
Not like that.
Loch is, they don't have to sell. They do sell. We do sell for a Baal Chov. We sell the money for a Baal Chov. That's the bride. The bride says, why do we sell?
It's only for a
Goy. The Halacha, even for a Jew.
If he admits it.
Because we're assuming he'll be paid him back is a liar. Why would we believe him?
Why would you assume he's a liar?
Because some people do. They take advantage of orphans.
Okay, but what happens if he hasn't?
I mean, you've got, okay, but it's a raya. Bring proof.
He can't bring a raya.
Wait till they grow older. When they grow older, bring your raya.
Exactly. So
but you got to understand that Chacham have got an obligation to the orphans. They're the classic people who got exploited. If we don't look after them, who will look after them?
I accept that.
Sometimes someone's going to pay the price. It's not nice. You're right. But that's
now,
the price.
He's already proved his debt. He can't prove that he hasn't been paid.
We're assuming that you're lying. We assume that our father paid him before he died. People don't die with debts. People, when they die, they go pay their debts back. Why are you coming out? Why didn't you... The argument that Beitin would make to the guy is, where were you yesterday when the guy was still alive? Why didn't you come and claim your money while he was still alive? Why now suddenly after he dies, you come into the orphans? We don't believe you because you got paid back. That's why you wouldn't be a chatsuf to come and face the guy while he was alive. Now he's dead, you're chasing after his orphans. Where were you yesterday?
If he was paid back, you wouldn't have the shtachov.
I know, we said. That was Rashi explained that. Rashi said already, that was Rashi's case. He said... at the bottom here, right? If you look at Rashi, if you say, Avir Natan de Balchov Ma'ot or Kesev Zabe Mashko Meshat Mita while he was at the time he was dying, Velo Hispik Litol et Ashtar Miyado. He never managed to get the star away from him before he died.
Right?
Ad She Mate Avir, and then he died.
If he was excommunicated, which we discussed, or if he was initially stipulated the loan will be repaid after a predetermined time, and that time had not yet arrived for his death, in which case there is no concern that he might already have been paid the loan.
Okay, so there we are. So that wouldn't apply then. But like in the case I'm saying is if the loan was already a standing loan, due and payable, why didn't you claim while the father was alive? Obviously, you must have got paid back. Okay, yeah. So that's nice. Okay, shkoach. So now. Rava, now we come, so basically, now Rava Amar, now again, I'll be honest with you, I've punctuated it like this, I don't know if it makes a lot of sense, but I've said like this, we had the Tanur Rabbanan, we had basically Rav Yehuda, we had the Deri Meir, Rav Yehuda said that, we had Rav Chia Bar Avin, we had Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan, remember? Where Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan, Rav Asi said, Rav Yochanan said, either ribit or a ketubah. Then we went through this whole process. I think that now we've got Rava Amar. Rava says it'd be a third category on when you would agree to pay out the yatomim, cash out the yatomim. And when would that be? Mishum, as a, on the other round, right? Okay. We said you never pay the yatomim except for certain cases, right? So now Rav is saying, why don't we, and then we saw that, we had, why didn't we pay out in that initially? What was the reason we didn't pay initially? So we had, Rav Papa said, because, it's not a mitzvah. Rav Hunebred, Rav Yeshua said, because we're assuming that Sarai Atf has already been paid out the money. Rav is saying another reason why we wouldn't pay out the money is because of the Mishum Shova. I think that makes more sense, right? Mishum Shovar. What Shovar? Look at Rashi here. Mishum Shovar. Rashi says, the very last wide lines of Rashi at the top, the Shema Shovar Hayal Avim al Ashtar Hazeh Sheperao. Because maybe he actually had a receipt. He's paid out the money. And what's the problem? The Yatomim Ein Yodin Hechanu. They know where it is. The father kept his papers in a mess. He never had a good filing system. And we can all relate to that. I think everyone knows somebody, if not themselves or their own father, but somebody's got a messed up filing system, right? And the guy dies, and they're going through shoeboxes now to try and find all the papers, and they can't find the receipt. Okay? You know the story with Howard, when Howard's grandmother died. She had a shoebox. Also, they went through a shoebox, and they found a title deed. It ended up being 20 Migrashim in Yoknan. He didn't have a shoebox, lying there in a bunch of papers. Amazing. Okay. Right. So he says, Mishum Shova. Right. He says, Mishum Shova. We assume there's a Shova. So there we said, Rav Yeshua said, because about Shari, we assume there's a, we know there's a receipt, right? Maybe they even, the father even told him there's a receipt. Okay? So what's the Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Rava? So now look at this. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. You see the same one over here? Rav Huna, the same guy who said because of Tsare Atfasa, right? He said that we're assuming the father paid back the money. He now says to Rav Huna, he said to Rava. He says, Rava, Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Rava. Umi chayshinan leshovar? Do we actually, are we choshesh to a shovar that's a receipt? Bahatna, didn't we have a case? We got a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah, Masechet Ketubot. Mishnah is hanifraat shelo befanav lo tifra ele beshvua. How can it be? If you come in to make a claim to get paid out of a debt and you're not in front of the person who owes you the money, your only ground you can do is with a shvua. So again, these guys can come make a shvua. How would they make a shvua? It was a shovar. Right? Look at Rashi here. Mishum shovar, hanifraat, and the shita adds in the hanifraat ketubah. A person comes to a woman comes to claim a ketubah, and her ex husband is not in front of them. Right? Kagon, Rashi says, "Kagon sheshalach la baal get b'vinatayam." He sent her the get overseas, and he's over. He's in Talmud, and she's living in Costa Rica. And now she comes to Beitin to claim a ketubah, and she's in Costa Rica. The Beitin in Costa Rica, and he's in Talmud, so she'd have to make a shvua that she hasn't been paid out yet. And Rav Acha Sar Habira, like the big shot, Maaseh Ba Lefnei Rabbi Yitzchak Napache L'Antuchia. Any explanation on this? Is it a place there, Antuchia? Where is Antuchia? In Turkey?
It was the most, Antioch was one of the most important the cities built by Seleucus, in honor of his father Antiochus, around the year 300 BC.
Where though?
Like right to the north, like near Turkey.
Near Turkey, I thought Antuchia was Turkey. In Turkey, I think I remember Antuchia was Turkey.
Syria. Above Lebanon.
Above Lebanon.
Okay, excellent. So he says, Ravach Sabira Masi Balibra Bitzchat Pachad Antuchia, but Amar. Lo Shanu Elektubat Isha Mishum China. Aval Balchov Lo. What's happening here? Ravach Sabira says that Lo Shan, what's Lo Shan? Look at Rashi there. Lo shanu debating yordin and nichse adam shlubefanav, elektubat isha mishum china. Aval balchov yamtin achi yachzor. It's like this. We know, he said, now remember, Rava was the one who says, why don't you pay out the guy? Because we assume there's a shovar, there's a receipt somewhere. So Rav Yeshua Breid, Rav Nachman Breid, Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua says to Rava himself, we got this case over here of Rav Yitzchak Lepacha, right? And we said, Lo shanu elektubat isha. The Rava Amar, the Shitta, you see the Adam Shashat both change Rabba to Rava. Rava, and you, Rava, you are renowned to have said on that aloha, the Rava Amar of Nachman, Afilu Balchov Nami. Even a Balchov, you can go there, right? Because there says there, Lo, right? Lo Shan Elekatubat Isha, right? We, as a rule, and if I should find a Lord for Elekatubat Isha. And Rav Achabar says, I'm a law shan, elektubat isha. Right? So it appears over here that with a shvua, right? Ve'i chayshta leshovar, hatamnami nechush. He says, well, I understand. If you worried about a shovar, in the aloha over there, you should have worried about a shovar. Look at Rashi. Ve'lo shan, debait in yod nichsa adam, shlefar, elektubat isha, mishum chena, ba'al chov yamkin ad sheyachzor. And you, Rava, said, no, even with a Baal Chov, we don't wait till he goes back. And he writes, why weren't you choshesh about a shovar there? You with me? You understand the case? He says, be consistent. A Baal Chov is a Baal Chov. You worry about a shovar here, worry about a shovar there. There you weren't worry about a shovar. So I'm like, no, he says, hot time, no, different. Why is it different? Can we run time? There we had a reason. Shlo yehe kol echad notel ma'otav shel chaver. Look here. Veholech lo yoshev lo vinat hayam. There we didn't want to, why did Rava allow it over there? Otherwise, what would you have a situation? A guy would steal money from his friend, run overseas and say, ah, lo befanav, sorry, he's not around anymore. We can't pay back the loan. Right? So therefore he says those are extenuating circumstances. Right? But here not is not the case. Right? Therefore what's Hilchata? As a rule, you don't sell in terms of assets. The Imam Martnu, but if their father had said to them, sell. Then niskakin, right? Then you do sell. Look at Rashi. Imamar avien tnu niskakin, right? Sadezo manazo. If he said, I own this field, or I own that amount of money, niskakin, the ain't ma'amina. You don't have to put up a troppus. Because the father said it. We heard the father say it. We just go, we do it. But if the father said, Sade stam, or I owe the guy a field, or I owe the guy money, so then niskakin, umamid in apotropos, then you would appoint an apotropos. Why? Because we're not sure what he owes him. Therefore, the apotropos has to go down and deal to get the best price and get the best deal possible. Now, look at this. You have to look at this. Look at this. There's a part missing here from the Gemara. Apotropos, they're dalid. The Shulamukh Kabetz are dalid. So we've got two cases here. The one case is he says specifically this field and that amount of money. Second case is he says a field or just just money. And then in the first case, you don't have to appoint an apotropos. In the second case, you do appoint an apotropos. The third case is aval nimtzei che'eno shelo niskakin ve'ein ma'amidin apotropos. Right? What does it mean over here? There's actually a Rashi on this, even though it's missing from the Gemara. Aval nimtzeit. You see that Rashi there, aval nimtzeit? That's how the Shita adds it in, because Rashi's got a girsa where it's in. You see that? Aval nimtzeit b'yad ha'yatomim sadeh echat shelo etash lavihen ele gezula. But if there is one field, which the father, it wasn't his, right? It was stolen. The father had stolen it. Niskakin lo tzigzalim yadam. They've got to do it. They can't get out of their hands. The ain tariq apotropos. In this case, you're an apotropos. So there are three cases. Either the father says, I owe him that amount of money or I owe him that land. Sell it, no apotropos. He says, I owe him money or I owe him land. We're not sure which. Appoint an apotropos. If we know that it's got land which the father's been hanging on to, which is not his, you sell that land. You don't sell it. You get it back quickly. And don't apotropos. Right? Now, Amrei Naharda. Here comes our loch. In Naharda, they said as follows. Bechulahu niskakin umamidin apotropos. In all these cases, right, you do sell the children's assets and you appoint an apotropos. Levad, except for minimtzei tzadeh she'eno shelo. Only, in other words, in the first two cases, you would appoint an apotropos, even if the father said that land or that amount of money. But if we know the land's not his, we don't appoint an apotropos. The achzukei sahadeh b'shikre lo mechaskinan. I'm not 100% sure what this means, to be honest, but the principle here is that if any witnesses would come and say that it is the father's land, we know they're lying. And if we don't even entertain the idea of getting witnesses, we don't bother with it, we don't appoint an apotropos, we don't do anything, we just sell. I think that's what it means. 100% sure. Rav Ashi and Rav Ashi says like this, Hilchach is the kuke lo mizdakinan. As a general rule, we don't go into the children's assets. Because Rav said, but the Gemara said, Amar Rav Hilchata ein iskakin, im mizdakin becoming apotropos. But Rava says, but if you do, you have to appoint an apotropos. The Amr ibn Nahar, the Bechun is king, we have an apotropos. We do, bottom line, sell and appoint an apotropos. Levad, minim tzayt, sadesh, and a shelo, other than a case we know it's not his. The Ichzukai, Sarah, Beshikrei, lo mechaskinan.